Hey, good morning. This is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the August 24th, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. This meeting is being recorded. And since I don't see John yet, Jean, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by roll call with
Elizabeth? Absolutely. Let me get my background up here then. All right, if you'll please stand and join me. Let me get out of the picture. Oh, I guess that doesn't help. Let me do this. There we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated.
Thank you, Jean. Elizabeth?
Okay. Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway?
Present.
Jean Hernandez?
Present.
John Poynter is not here. Dave Tetzloff?
Here.
Cynthia Thacker?
Here.
All right. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And with us from the Office on Aging, we have Erica Danzak. And we also have with us the chair of the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee, Meredith Chalemi. Okay, we are now down to item four on our agenda, which is time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any requests to speak or any members of the public on as guests?
No requests have come through.
Okay, thank you, Erica. So public communications is now closed. And on to chair report. So as you know, Phil Mandeville resigned from the executive board due to his time commitment for the Golden Rain Foundation, which he's heavily involved with. And we have put out the information and the solicitation to all of the SCAC members that we were looking for a new member of the executive board. Meredith Chalemi has indicated her interest in doing that, and she's done a fantastic job with her standing committee. So I look forward to bringing her leadership onto the executive board. And with that, we've had to do some changing around because, as you know, with the SCAC bylaws, if you're a member of the executive board, you cannot be a chair of the standing committee. So we kind of had to do a little work backwards to find a new chair before I could present Meredith to you. And as part of this process, Meredith will be resigning as chair of the standing committee so that she can be appointed to SCAC. Now, the SCAC, the executive board member, we will make the nomination, take it to the SCAC meeting in September because the executive board members need to be approved by the full SCAC. But we as the executive board can approve the new standing committee chair.
I hate to approve her because she is amazing on that committee. She is the glue that holds that committee together, which, by the way, Meredith, I got to tell you, is probably one of the most entertaining of all the committees I sit on. You definitely have a robust group.
Oh, yeah. I think entertaining was a euphemism, Jean. I heard a lot about the last meeting.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. What standing committee is that, Meredith?
I keep
calling it health and nutrition. Now it's Wellbeing Reimagined.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm still recovering from our last meeting.
You know what, Mary? Kudos to you. You did an amazing job. You've got a couple of what I call time bandits, and you handle them well.
Bandits, love it.
But Meredith will still be on the committee, and she's been instrumental in finding the new chair for the committee. So what I would like to do, I'd like to make two nominations right now. One is to nominate Meredith Chalemi as a at-large executive board member and to forward that nomination to this SCAC membership.
I will second that nomination.
Okay, so it's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
Great choice.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Carries. So Meredith, we will present this at the next SCAC meeting. And I know also with this is doing part of the presentation schedule that has been filled out for the rest of this year. And Gene will help you transition into that because he did a stellar job on that in the last 2 years.
You know, on that note, Erica, would you make sure they had asked me for the, what do they call it? It used to be the Ledge Committee, now something else. I did get the speaker. Tony Cardenas has been confirmed for September. They had asked about that.
But that's that's the legislation committee.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the presentation schedule for the general SCAC meetings.
Yeah, no problem. I just, as on the top of my head, I want to make sure Erica got that committee had asked if we could get if I could get the speaker in September. And I did. And it's, they wanted Tony Cardenas to give an update on senior legal issues. So I just off the topic, I'm sorry.
No one's confused. That's not the SCAC meeting. That's the Ledge or Senior Citizens Engagement Committee.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Also, Barbara Sloat has indicated that she will be willing to take over the chairmanship of and replace Meredith. I assured her that we would assist her with that as she steps into that role. And now that is approved by SCAC, the executive board. The chairs of the standing committees are approved by us. So I'd like to nominate Barbara Sloat as chair of the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee.
Seconded
by Elizabeth.
Hey, Elaine, which one's Barbara Sloat? Is she, Barbara did we meet with her?
She's from Newport Beach, short hair. She's been on SCAC for several years now.
We didn't go to lunch with her. It's a different person.
That was a different one. Okay, thank you.
That was Susan.
Yeah.
That's who I thought was interested in it, but yeah. No,
her travel schedule did not have room for a chairmanship. So
active senior, I love it.
So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Carries.
You know, I'm going to abstain only because I don't know her.
She's been on. Okay, that's fine. But she's been on SCAC.
What does she look like?
She's thin, has short, light gray, blondish gray hair.
She's the one that volunteered to head the subcommittee caregiving that works on well-being.
That's right. I do know her, and yes, I'm fine with that. Yeah, she's good.
Okay. All right. So we've voted. It's passed. Any other discussion on that item? Okay, next I want to go on to our work cycle and put this out to you as far as what our schedule of things are, because now that we are actually doing the work of SCAC and presenting things to the Board of Supervisors, want to make sure we know what our timing is so that the standing committees know. So, and Erica, I'm going to rely on you for input on this, because the first time we did it, we had our workshop in June, because that's the first time we did a workshop and we squeezed it in. And then we had COVID kind of delayed things. And then we did our last workshop in March. Now, ideally, if we're going to present anything to the Board of Supervisors that needs their support or funding, it should be timed so that it can get into their budget cycle. So when do we want to present something to the board, and then we should back it up by maybe 2 months for our workshop? So is March still the appropriate time, meaning we would send it to the board in May, or do we need to adjust that?
Well, anymore, it seems like our county budget planning cycle is an ongoing cycle. It seems like we're always in budget season. We're either talking about the current budget or planning for future years. And we do 5-year strategic financial plans. The board would like to hear about anything that's on the horizon for future funding and 5-year planning. And then we start our actual budget cycle for the new fiscal year around December. And then the board's budget hearings are in June. So it's really up to SCAC to decide, you know, at what point you want to get in on what cycle. But I would say that we should definitely get to the board before they have their budget hearings in June. So that means if you back that up and you want to do a workshop, you know, earlier in the calendar year, January, February, March, we could put any kind of recommendations together. That timing of presenting something during May of Older Americans Month just synced it up right before budget hearings in June. That seemed to work well. It seemed to be appropriate timing. So I'm not sure why SCAC did their workshop in June. Maybe it was because it was...
Because we never did it before.
Okay.
We never did it before. That was the first time we did the workshop. And okay. That was where we had room in the schedule, even though June traditionally were dark.
Sure. Okay.
So. What would you recommend, Erica?
I would say to do the workshop either February, March. Put, you know, recommendations and a report together, use April as that working month for SCAC, and then have something to the board for one of their May meetings.
What do you think, Elaine? That sounds good to me.
Yeah, no, I like that timing, and I like that we would be presenting it in May, which is Older Americans Month. I think it's very, it's important to be on message, and that'll draw attention to what we have to say. I'm going between February and March for the workshop as a board. I mean, I and Erica too, we like to have more time to dust off that report before we send it, except I don't know if February is too soon for the standing committees to have done their work so that we have things to discuss at the workshop. So, Meredith, you've just chaired a standing committee. How does the timing fit in as far as the work of the standing committee?
I think that we've been geared up for March for this year. We just started digging into actual subcommittees that are going to assess gaps and have suggestions. I'm not sure. I think that they could pivot to February since it's only late August.
Okay, it's late August. Keep in mind we're dark in December. So we have a September, October, November meeting. Dark in December.
January,
February.
Well, you know, if you're geared to February, you figure it out in, you know, your September and stuff, so to get ready for it. So I don't not see, like Meredith says, you can kind of push it to February if you know it's coming, right?
Okay. I think that maybe February would be good this year because since this is, at least for me, a new process, we might not be giving the right information and there might be more interchange than in future years as committees.
Okay. Dave?
Question I have is, when is the cycle for SCAC members? Are new members brought in January? And the board is initiated in January. So if you're looking at new leadership or new members, does 1 month give sufficient time to be able to talk in such detail about budget concerns?
Okay, that's a good point, Dave, for the SCAC membership. So we have three different types of members or three different seats. Right. So the ones for the Board of Supervisors, there's not a specific time of year
That's ongoing,
the right? One's for, and that's 10 members. 10 members are City Selection Committee. So actually we just got the date. They're gonna be meeting November 4th, and those people will then take their seats January 1st. And then the other 20 are Executive Board appointees. And that's kind of ongoing, even though we do the reappointments in January, because we have to have specific terms, that's really ongoing as members come in and out of SCAC. Mm-hmm. So, and as far as the leadership, the executive board. Sorry about that, guys.
Shoot that beast. Ooh, a wild animal.
Bill, the thing is that you, if someone's going to take care, over the chair, they're already, it's going to be an experienced person. So they're not going to be a new person. So they'll have that information that, to take over already. So I look at it that way.
Well, and also, as I was starting to say before, I was so rudely interrupted by my dogs. The executive board, it's for 2 years. So there's, at this point, there's no changeover, but when there is, it's January. Actually, no, it's February, because we vote in January. So I don't think there's gonna be any difference by change in terms right now. So do we want to then target February as a workshop? That's what I'm hearing. Dave, do you have anything else?
I'll take my hand down.
Oh, okay. Right. Just want to make sure I didn't miss it over the barking dog. Sorry about this, guys. No one else is available to come get them. So
I think the sooner the better. And then you can have more time to follow up with the details.
Okay. So Meredith, you have the first thing filled in on your presentation schedule for 2022. And that'll be February, will be the workshop. See, we work as a team to get things done. Okay. And then Jean, if you could please communicate that to the standing committee chairs.
Okay, will do.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now on to old business, the status of our communications with the Board of Supervisors. So last week, Jean and I had a Zoom meeting with Supervisor Foley, and she was very interested in what we're doing. And we can expect that her two appointees, I would expect to see them soon. She wasn't aware that she had two seats to fill.
Oh.
And now that she is, she will be filling them. Those do, though, have to go to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. So there's part of a cycle it has to go through. And she also asked for, 6 months of minutes from our meetings. So, just be aware in all your meetings, they're being recorded and those are the minutes of the meeting. So, on today's agenda, they have our request for technology. That is item S33D. It's on the supplemental agenda. It's the request for the iPads and for the get setup. So, and those were put on the agenda by Supervisors Bartlett and Chafee. So hopefully they will be approving that. We'll know later today. And then after that, Jean and I will get together with Erica and meet with the other supervisors as well, just to touch base with them on what the work of SCAC is. So any
questions? I hope they're more knowledgeable than Foley was, because it didn't sound like no one had briefed her on our group at all virtually.
Yeah, that's true. So that was the point of our meeting also.
Right.
To brief her on that. So and actually that item that she discussed with us, and what she talked about was taking an old, a regular old fashioned telephone handset, but you plug that into the iPhone. So seniors are more comfortable using iPhones. But in my talk with county staff, and I forgive me, I don't remember who I was talking to because I've been talking to a lot of people. It seems like that's already in process. So we'll follow up on that to see exactly where that stands. But that would be something I think would kind of help bridge that divide with some seniors, not actually using technology to look up things, but at least to get them to use the iPhone, because also so many people now are gone to disconnecting their landlines. So that would be helpful. So any questions or comments on our communications with the supervisors? Okay, on to item, chair comments. I think, you know, we've done a lot of work. The big push was that report and that request to the Board of Supervisors. So thank you, Dave Tetzlaff, and your committee.
And Meredith.
Putting that together. I know I felt like I kept pushing you because of this one-time funding, but that's exactly where they're going for to get the money for what we've requested. So that it was very important to be timely with that request. So thank you for your work on that.
Now, is the supervisor meeting Zoom or are they meeting?
Oh, they're in person.
Well, it's both.
Okay.
They're in person, but to get in, I don't know what the status is today. I know in the past to get people in, you couldn't just come in and sit like you used to. It's like they let a certain amount in at a time. So, and
I would say it's not real encouraging to come in person.
That was a question, you know, that we had discussed whether or not SCAC goes there, but it just wouldn't be conducive or beneficial to our members to be there. I think the supervisors, we've communicated with them, and rather than having our members wait outside, and again, we have a more senior population, and with what's going on with the variant, we'll just wait to hear the good news at the end of the day. So, and I think, and I heard last meetings, they had so many people there for public communications. I believe their comments were cut down to, was it 1 minute or 30 seconds, something like that.
Yeah, it was really, I want to say it was 30 seconds. You're right. It was real bad.
Yeah. So now, as far as my comments, just keep up the good work. Thank you, everyone. Members, stay focused. And if you are in a standing committee meeting and they are straying, please assist your chairs in getting it back on topic. Remember, the standing committees are not to discuss things that are of interest to seniors. They're just to discuss things that we as SCAC can approach the Board of Supervisors about and advocate to the Board of Supervisors. That's our role, is to advocate for senior citizens to the Orange County Board of Supervisors. Our role is not to put on interesting presentations. So
every time, Elaine, that there is new members to a committee, we have to go through that spiel that you just said.
So maybe what we want to do, Jean, if you could communicate to the standing committee chairs that they have a conversation with the new person before that meeting, before that first meeting, so they have a clear understanding of why they're on that committee. Because it's also then frustrating for other members because they feel like their time is being wasted, or then you have other members who then chime in the conversation and it just stretches out that time that is really not useful to our work. So Elizabeth.
Are you aware, John Pointer has emailed us that he has been trying to get into this meeting since 9:30.
He also sent us a chat here.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's here. He's able to connect to audio, so he hears everything that's going on in the meeting.
Is he as a guest or a panelist? Because I usually, as a panelist, we should see his name on the screen.
Let's see here. Oh.
And now I see.
He must be as a guest. Let's see.
Now I see him.
Come out.
Here he is. Here he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now he's a panelist. Hi, John.
Hi, I don't still have video, so I'm not sure what my problem is. Elizabeth and I have experienced this in other Zoom calls, so I'm not sure what's going on, but just an FYI, I have been here.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Everything you said.
We're glad you're here and just jump into the conversation when appropriate. Okay, Elizabeth, anything else or was that it?
No, that was it.
Okay, thank you. Cynthia.
I'd like to get back to what we were talking
about. There we go. Okay. I don't know what happened, but there I am. Thank you.
Okay. Cynthia.
I'm sorry. So when we have new members on staff, is there not a small presentation that we can maybe put it in bold right at the beginning? What I know we have mission and stuff, but it probably is not being read well. Maybe you somehow put, you know, that into a packet at the very top, and before they get into too much of it, instructions of what they're supposed to do or not do.
I think the issue from what I've seen may be standing committee members who are not SCAC members. So when they're SCAC members, there's a whole packet they receive, and I personally have a phone call with them. When they're standing committee members, but not SCAC members, they usually come up through the standing committee. Like maybe someone who's on it said, oh, here's this topic if you're interested in it. And they come up to us that way. So, and it's, they've already been to the meetings. So,
and I'm not sure, quite honestly, colleagues, that that would even make a difference with some of these folks. Some of them are A, subject matter experts, or think they're subject matter experts. And most of them are, but it goes so far beyond that any comment made, they bridge into an area of their specialty they want to talk about. And they're very strong personalities. And it's not not an easy fix. It takes somebody like a Meredith to gently listen and then steer them away, even though we'll come right back on another question. It's bizarre. And I've dealt with a lot of people like this, but we have a couple that are very unique.
I wonder if it's part of the social isolation too, because I think that some people are having this as
it could be, Meredith. Time to connect. It could be. Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of the things that we started with the SCAC meetings is we open it up a half hour early to get that socialization or socializing done. Would it be helpful to open up the standing committee meetings a half hour early? And anyone who wants
I'm just not sure she would, this individual would turn off at the meeting time and say, okay, now let's go. I think she'd socialize all the way through. So it's not really socializing. It's just that there's a lot of areas we get into that they have knowledge of and or personal experience. And that's what really we really get sidetracked on this personal experience. Let me give you an example of that. It happened to me, boom, 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 boom. And it's like, okay. And it seems like everything in the world has happened to this person.
Yeah. Well, and then maybe we need to then kind of have conversations with our standing committee chairs and encourage them to really control the meeting and rein in. And there's no problem. If someone keeps sidetracking the work of the committee, I don't know about the rest of the executive board, but I don't have an issue with removing that person.
Because no, I don't think I'd remove her. I think it just takes a matter of saying, okay, good comment. Hold that thought, though. We've got to move on through our agenda and just cut it off real quick.
Yeah.
But even there, I know there was overwriting. Somebody was still talking as Meredith was trying to move on. It was the weirdest thing. And that was the only time I'd seen it on that one that strong.
Well, and also if it becomes a problem, maybe we need to talk to Jenna or whoever the admin is for controlling the microphones. I don't know.
I think ultimately we're going to need to talk to a couple of individuals and just tell them point blank.
I think
not publicly, but kind of a phone call and say, hey, look, you got great knowledge, great experience, but you're dominating the conversation, which is extending our meetings. And a lot of the area you're getting into isn't relevant for us at this level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know one person I need to talk to that's on my list, and Meredith and I have discussed that.
I think that we should start out with ground rules, maybe for a minute each time, just as a friendly reminder, this is the purpose of this committee. This is what we're doing. And just up front, if I feel like the discussion is not going along that line, I'm going to redirect you.
Okay, that's a great idea.
At every meeting.
So Meredith, as the most recent standing committee chair, do you think you could put a couple of those down in writing and then send them to us and we could take a look at them. And then Jean can go over those with all of this.
We have this problem at church too with people praying. And some of the pastors will say the five B's, be brief, baby, be brief. Like you can't go on and on.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Meredith.
We appreciate we have that problem in our council meetings when we get an invocation going and they think it's a Sunday sermon. It's like, you're really not on the program agenda here. Just can you make a few comments? Wow.
Okay. All right. So we'll look forward to getting that. Okay. Jean, anything else on standing committees?
No, I just wanted to say, though, that I think Meredith does a yeoman's job. And on the flip side, a lot of good information ideas come out. We just need to make sure we're channeling the right way. And clearly, because I've seen that on the others, too, that message of what is our role is to be the eyes and ears for our bosses, the supervisors. It's not to go out there and start. There's other groups that will do that. Advocate, go out to Sacramento. That's not us. And we keep playing that theme, and I think we'll be okay. Because it's not just Meredith's group. There's the Ledge group can be a little out there too. And unfortunately, Meredith gets this picture real clear. Some of the other chairs don't. And that's the worst thing in the world is when they say, "Well, yeah, I'm still a little confused in this area." And I'm thinking, "Are you kidding me?" Well, if you're confused, then your committee's going to be confused. And I don't like to be the heavy in the room always. Well, let me clarify. And I do. But I really wish they would get this message instead of me.
And I think that'll be a step in the right direction to give them the tools to start they kind of frame the conversation for that meeting at the beginning of each meeting.
The other thing that our committee, you know, we had the extremes. We had people that wanted to talk very off topic. And then we had one committee member that wanted to go through the master plan bullet by bullet and align that directly to the master plan, which is also, in my opinion, not practical for our position from the county point of view.
You know what, though, guys, in all fairness, I'd rather have a group that you got to put the, you know, hold back the horses as opposed to building a fire under them. So this we can control. We'll be able to deal with this. Elaine, yes, I'll make sure they're getting the word.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and just to take a step back to Meredith's comment about the master plan. We want the committees to be aligning with that, but to be picking two or three points out of their goals, because number one, not all of the goals really align with the philosophy of Orange County. And number two, there's just too many. You'll never get anything done if you pick the whole.
Well, I will tell you, that was evident by the discussion that we had in Meredith's group. We only went through a couple. And I will tell you, we need a clarification on what does this mean? What's the definition? So yeah, I agree. Forget the main one that was a sidetracker, but even the other one, which was good, took on a life of its own too.
Yeah. Well, the senior citizens engagement committee, they just picked a couple and this is what we're going to focus on. So, and I think that works well because it gives the committee members work to do, but something that is in, the size or parameter of something that is actually doable. So that's good. Cynthia, you've had your hand up.
I'm sorry, I had to take it down, forgot.
Okay. Sorry. All right, and anything else on standing committees? Okay, very good. Let's move on to the presentation schedule. Jean?
Well, I assume we need a speaker in September too. Is that right, Elaine, or do we have
them? Well, we already have them. We have them filled out for the rest of the year.
So not until January, then I need to make contact with the, we don't know if we're gonna physically be meeting in person by then, do we?
No, we don't.
So I hate to call the centers and say, hey, can you host us?
Well, you can start one at a time, maybe. Who did we usually? I think Irvine used to be January.
I can call Irvine in January. Quite honestly, I don't think we're going to be meeting in January face to face.
Yeah, I think maybe. What is this? I think maybe next month. Let's work with Erica to see what the direction from the county is on that.
Yeah, that would be helpful. And I will tell you that everybody's in the same boat, so I don't think we'll have a problem scheduling. Because no one's scheduling right now, so.
I don't know, we opened up the schedule for our new community center and it's being booked all the way through next year.
Really? Wow, yeah.
Good but for you. Everyone's been waiting for it. It's a big, beautiful new $30 million community center.
So. That's the way it was with our library. Once we finally opened it up, man, it just took off, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, but Erica, let's talk. We'll get that.
Well, and also you need to transition this over to Meredith too. So,
well, Meredith can take over programs.
Yeah, because you were doing it.
Oh, Meredith, I love you. That is awesome.
I'm sure she'd be happy to let you keep it.
No, no, she's got that look of I'm all over this. I want.
So,
but I certainly will work with her. I mean,
we've already got the February one taken care of because that's the workshop.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, and then just a reminder, we planned to meet in November in person. That was going to be our one in-person meeting. We'll keep it that way. At the last minute, we can pull the plug on that because that would be easy because it's in Laguna Niguel and Erica is the speaker. So, if
you know, I've been toying with the idea, Elaine. What do you think about inviting each of the supervisors, you know, by month or every other month, to have them be the program and kind of give their philosophy on senior issues or whether they know issues or not, or just kind of get a feel for their thinking. And really what they're learning is about us too. So we get this mutual, okay, I get this. And they can kind of see that, yes, this is a group that I'm going to have to deal with. They know the issues and this is important. Because I don't think we're on anybody's radar, really.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe we could do that as maybe half of a program and then have another half. Because I just, the supervisor, time-wise,
yeah. Good point.
And I don't want it to become a political thing.
Well, that's why I'd say all of them. And make it, you're right, maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
But then again, I don't know if they have any standing meetings the second Friday of the month, but we can look into that. That's a good idea. So let's take a look at that and see. Because then they'll surely be communicating with us.
You can put the supervisors when we move around into the different districts. And you used to do that with Lisa, just like she'd come and just, you know, give an update, mm-hmm. right? Lisa Barton?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we met in person, yeah, they would come there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she did. I don't.
Yeah.
And then not sure most the others did. We used to get the mayors there, but not the supervisors.
Yeah. We'd have the mayors. So Lisa, kicked off our workshop.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's a good idea. I like the idea. And like you said, we start to connect with them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But if we start to meet, we meet in different supervisor areas. So that could be like a 10-minute introduction to them and us.
Well, after our meeting with Supervisor Foley, it became clear to me that I don't think our supervisors really grasp our role. I don't even know they think they're our boss. So I think it might be nice if they just understand the relationship that we have, what the roles are.
Yeah. Well, every time we send them the request or the, you know, the priorities, we have that paragraph at the top explaining to them something that they should know. So
you're assuming they read it.
What our role is, because also they have a lot of different committees that they're either on or they've appointed people to or that represent different groups.
That's the key. They have staff that has all these contacts, and whether staff filters to them is what they get.
Mm-hmm. Do we ever tweet at them? Like when we have a meeting, do we ever tweet directly to them?
No.
No. What I do though is I do send them the invitation flyers so that they can.
They're aware.
And then put it also for those that have e-newsletters that go out, they can put it in there too.
You know what though, Meredith, in all fairness, what Elaine says is absolutely correct. Their time is they have so many time bandits. They really are cautious where their time goes. So I get that. We don't want to be one of those that we're constantly sending them stuff because they're pretty soon they're just going to ignore it when you get a lot of mail.
Okay. All right. Anything else on presentation schedule? Okay.
Welcome on board, Meredith.
Well, not yet. Fingers crossed.
I have no doubt it'll carry.
Yeah, Meredith, we're going to see a challenge from the floor. Yeah,
and if it is, that person who challenges, they're going to do the programs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, on to item number 10, Senior Center Liaison. Cynthia.
I have nothing new to report. I'm just, I think it was well received last meeting about helping Erica and when she needs any connection with the that help type with the senior centers. So I'm just waiting to see when we can.
Okay. And we'll, when as we get either request for information or information to share, we'll continue using that to push that out. So, okay, Elizabeth, members in good standing, anyone you need to bring to our attention?
Most people are in good standing, but one person who definitely needs your attention is Jim Levy. He was absent for the last three meetings, as well as the first. So of the seven meetings we've had, he's been absent four and present three. And he has not turned in one volunteer month of hours.
You know, he is making the committee meeting. He goes to his committee meeting.
That is right. Mm-hmm.
So Erica, has there been any communication with Jim?
No, we haven't initiated sending him a formal letter. We can if that's what SCAC exec wants to do. Usually what we'll do is we'll send them kind of like a warning letter. And then if he still doesn't improve his attendance, then we just send a dismissal letter.
Why wouldn't we make a phone call to him first, a phone call to find out what's going on in his life? Mm-hmm. I hate the letter going out when it's, we haven't even called him. And he's been a long time member.
I don't have a rapport with Jim. I mean, if someone else would like to just give him a call and see how he's doing and maybe get some information that way.
Yeah, I don't have
let me know
him either. So if there's someone who does who would like to make the call, or else as the chair, I'll make it. But
does he have any close contacts? I don't have that rapport with him either, but I got to assume somebody in there does.
Yeah,
I think coming from Elaine would mean something, because I can email him, but it gets nowhere.
No, it's not an email. This needs a phone call.
Okay, I know last time we had a situation like this, it was the phone messages went on for quite a while because the person was not returning calls.
Well, then you send a letter. Then a letter's appropriate.
Okay, I will call him. I don't see anyone else's hand going up. I'll call Jim. Yeah, because in our, according to the bylaws, actually SCAC gets an extra absence compared to the other county committees. So according to our bylaws, on the third absence, you're sent a letter. On the fourth absence, your seat is vacated.
Right.
So for the other county committees, it's the third absence, your seat is vacated. So, but he's been attending all, which standing committee is he on?
Former Ledge.
Yeah, Ledge.
Oh, that's right. Was he at this week?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, he's got a rich history of involvement. He's chaired a lot of things. So.
Oh, yeah, I know. And he's also, isn't he on, is he still on CSL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is.
Okay, John, do you have any insight to what's going on?
I think Jim's just getting at that point in life where he's getting a little forgetful. He's 90 plus now? Mm-hmm. That's my observation. I talked to Jim. We have an OC caucus meeting, and I've had to call Jim several times to remind him of the meeting and then link him into the call. So that's my experience.
Okay. And how's his participation once he's in the meeting?
Oh, he participates.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. So, and for some members, it may be that they are no longer a member of SCAC, but then they remain on their standing committee and still do that work.
I think how John described it is pretty accurate. I think he's getting on in years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. I'll make that call. Let's see, anything else, Elizabeth, before we move on?
Sherry Geyer, her attendance has been good. She's only missed one meeting, but she has not turned in any of the monthly volunteer hours.
Yeah.
And again, I think she attends one of the committee meetings. I can't remember which one, but Meredith's meeting. Yeah, yes, she does.
Yeah, because she actually used to chair that committee. And for a while, when there wasn't a chair, her and Dave Sullivan were co-chairing it, kind of alternating.
And they both participate there. They speak up.
Yeah. I know it's frustrating, but I know getting those hour sheets from Sherry has been a challenge. But she still is a contributing member. I think one of the issues might be, I don't know if she has a computer, because whenever we do something, it's pictures taken and sent via her cell phone.
She's on her cell phone when she logs on to Zoom too.
Yeah, you're right. She is.
So I know it's, you know, required of all members, but I think, you know, she's still participating to the level she can. I don't know if we want to send her an envelope with the forms and a return envelope, or is it just, you know.
Because I have sent her the templates on email, but maybe.
Yeah, but we're saying she may not have a computer or she may not have a printer to do that.
It would be nice if we could have a fillable form on the website.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, but again, that doesn't address the issue with Sherry, who's not using a computer. So,
you can do that on your phone as well if it's just something that you submit.
Yeah, and it wasn't a problem when we were there in person.
Right, just did it.
Because also the forms would be handed to us. Mm-hmm. So this is where the issue is. So I don't know if anyone has any suggestions or we just let it lie.
Well, here's a dilemma, I believe, Elaine, as CSL's experienced it as well. There's several different generations of people, but there are a group of people that simply do not have a computer or the technology for the current world, the current business world. Sadly. So it's a struggle to try and figure out how to engage them when, you know, someone asks, could you mail me that? It's all electronic nowadays. I'm sorry, you know, that would mean I would have to stop and do something a little different and then make an exception for you. So it's challenging.
Yeah,
but clearly there is a segment out there that's not working with technology that normally we use to function in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Elizabeth has mailed it to her, and I believe Sherry understands the importance of it, having been the former chair of this SCAC.
Mm-hmm.
Could we call people in her situation and fill it out with them and then just say, signed on their behalf? That's what we do in case notes sometimes.
I don't know that would work. I know when I fill out mine, I don't want someone on the other end of the phone because I'm going through my calendar and it's just taking too long. I guess I'm saying this isn't something that, based on Sherry's participation still in her standing committee, and I don't want to give an exception to one member, but I don't know that it's something worth pursuing.
Right.
Let's value how she is able to participate. So
I agree with that, Elaine.
Pardon me?
I agree with that. I think that's wise. Just
okay.
Some emeritus members deserve that.
Okay. Yeah. Dave.
Yeah, I think there's just some members saying this is volunteer service and they will not report it just because it's volunteering. with 2,000 volunteers that I controlled, if I got 75% reporting, I was good. And the others just saying, well, I'm volunteering. Why do I need to report my hours? Because it's just volunteer service. And that's it. I don't need to report that.
Well, but they do. And just because the Board of Supervisors wants to make sure that's required in our bylaws, they want to make sure that those members are actively working and doing things and volunteering in the senior community. Okay, so I think we've discussed this and I think we can move on unless anyone has that final point that they're just fired up to make. Seeing none, we'll go on to item number 12, announcements. Wait a minute, you know what? I skipped something. Erica. Erica, and you didn't say a word.
No, she was very quiet.
Let's go back to item number five.
Thank you, Eileen.
Shame on all of you. You should.
No. I thought I was going to get a pass this month.
I thought this meeting's moving along pretty quickly.
Which is a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I'll be brief, baby. Be brief. I like that.
I do like that.
So just to piggyback on a few things that Elaine mentioned, just a huge kudos to all of SCAC, but in particular, the Ad Hoc Committee for Technology led by Dave. And I know, Meredith, you contributed heavily to that report. It is so exciting that the board has taken those recommendations in their entirety, and they're going to be voting on the allocation of funding, all of the recommendations. So 2,200 iPads, plus the training and education piece for those clients that need it and helping them get set up and get everything working properly. And then also the subscription for all Orange County older adults, seniors age 60 and over will have an Orange County subscription to get set up. So all told, when we added up all the dollars and cents and got the quote from Get Set Up to provide the training, it's going to be close to $2.5 million that the board is going to vote on today. So just very exciting to see your work in action. But once they approve, that's when the real work will begin. So we are going to have to return back to the Board of Supervisors with a contract with Get Set Up for them to approve. We're trying to fast track that and get it on as a supplemental agenda item for the very next board meeting in a couple of weeks. But just so that you know the timing of that, because today is approving the project and the funding allocation. And then in 2 weeks, it'll be the actual contract with Get Set Up. And then as far as the master plan for aging, you know, I think it's great to hear about the work that the committees are doing. We did have a meeting with CDA last week on the local playbook workshop. Elaine attended with me. And many of our local leaders from the county with the social services agency, the healthcare agency, our CEO's office. And it was really great because not only did they go through the playbook, but they also provided an in-depth demonstration on what the data dashboard looks like. So we were able to see Orange County stats and how we stack up with other counties in certain particular, you know, data elements versus statewide data. And they just pulled a couple of samples for demonstration purposes, but really there's so much in that data dashboard and they're continuing to build on it. There's data elements that point to the master plan for aging that they've just sort of grayed out as a placeholder to let us know that they're working on it and that it will go live, but you know, we can see that it's coming. So I think it's something that was Elaine and I debriefed after the meeting. I think that SCAC would be interested in getting a similar demonstration of what the data dashboard entails. We get a lot of requests for data, and I think it's just good to have an awareness that this resource exists. And for those tech savvy folks that like the research and the data piece, you could play around with that thing for hours. I mean, it just really is a neat thing. And a good resource that we haven't had before. So I've already reached out to the consultant that provided the demo for us to see if she would be available to present to SCAC. That might populate another month for you, Meredith. So I'll keep you posted to see what their availability looks like. At the very least, I could, you know, pull it up and show you guys. And then for those that want more, they can sort of experiment with it on their own time. But more to come on that. The focus right now, our phones are starting to ring off the hook for booster shots. The seniors that were vaccinated in January and February want to know when they can get that third shot now that the CDC has recommended boosters for those that are either older adults or have a co-occurring condition. immune compromised and so forth. So we're starting to track that in our call center, an interest list of seniors that want that booster shot. We don't have any information or appointments to give them at this point. We know that the healthcare agency is working on it, and they're working with Athena to build out those appointments. I also have a meeting with the healthcare agency tomorrow afternoon to talk about providing the points of distribution or the pods again at senior centers, community centers, libraries, those types of things. So I'll have more information on what exactly our role will be in collaborating with the healthcare agency to get seniors their boosters, but I'll keep you posted.
Hey, Erica, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have a question on that because last week, Dr. Chow had a meeting with the city managers and some of that information was provided. And I asked a couple of questions of our city manager who we're still waiting to hear back from Dr. Chow because there were two different terms used. One was the third vaccine, which those who have are immunocompromised can get now. And then there's the booster, which will be coming in the fall. And the booster is supposed to cover the variants, which is not necessarily in the third vaccine. So my question was, if you get the third vaccine, can you also get the booster in the fall? And we're waiting for an answer on that.
Okay.
So I don't know if when they're talking to you, if they're specific about, is this the third vaccine, which is the same as the first two shots you got, but you're just getting a third one, or is it a booster, which then also covers the variants?
Okay. I'll attempt to clarify. We're not getting that distinction for the requests that are coming into the call center. They're using the term booster, but they could mean that they want a third shot. We're not. I wasn't aware that we needed to.
I just learned that right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and then that third shot is, they're not saying everybody needs the third one, but those who are immunocompromised.
I'm thinking, wouldn't the booster take care of that?
Yeah, but the booster's not ready yet.
I was told it was ready for those that are compromised like
See, that's where we're getting the third vaccine or the booster.
I went to CVS and I said, hey, is that booster available? It's only available for the compromised. You'll be in the fall.
Are we going to do something with flu shots at the same time that people are going in the fall for their?
I just got my flu shot now, so.
I'm wondering if the pop-ups are going to offer both at the same time.
Good question.
So we're giving Erica a list.
You guys are giving me a list that I need to make sure that I take advantage of my meeting with HCA tomorrow. So thank you for that, because these are things that I wasn't even thinking of. So
yeah, and also because many of our senior centers and churches have the flu shot clinics. Now I know when we got our first COVID vaccines that you couldn't have had any other vaccine within a certain amount of time. So we want to make sure that our seniors are very well informed whether or not they can get them at the same time, or if there needs to be a space of 2 weeks or whatever that might be.
Right. Okay.
That's a lot of education and messaging once we have the answers.
It sure is. And on that note, you know, I did mention at the main SCAC meeting that the Office on Aging received vaccine outreach funding. We have about $177,000 to spend through September of next year on vaccine outreach. And when we first met with HCA, they were just like, you guys knock your socks off because we need help with messaging. And knowing that over 87% of seniors in Orange County have been fully vaccinated, we're thinking, well, how much work is there left to be done? But now that there's this whole other attention on boosters and flu shots and third shots and, you know, getting away from the big super pod and just going straight to the communities, there's going to be a lot of messaging that we need to make sure we've got the funding for. So we're talking with the Dale McIntosh Center, who's our ADRC partner. They also receive their own allocation of vaccine outreach funding for people with disabilities. So we may pool our resources and see if we can hire staff to lead this effort in terms of coordination, messaging, all that stuff.
Are there certain cities where people are less vaccinated? I mean, I just anecdotally think that San Clemente is one of them.
I have not seen any updates. Are you talking about seniors or just general population?
Seniors. Mm-hmm. Seniors.
I have not seen updated data on that, but I know where to get it. So let me ask on that.
And too. It would also be helpful to see if there's a certain age group that is not, because we've got some of our seniors are very frail and may not, you know, feel that they can withstand the side effects.
And wait, I'd like
Elizabeth had her hand up first and then Cynthia.
Yes. Will the Office on Aging be doing flu clinics at the different senior centers, like starting in October?
The Office on Aging doesn't. That's actually led by the healthcare agency, but the Office on Aging has maintained a master list and schedule of where all those are happening, and we publish that. Mm-hmm. So yes, we will continue to do that so long as the flu clinics are available and scheduled.
So when will we know, like, when our different senior centers will be providing these flu clinics?
Now is usually the time. I would say more like September is usually when we get that list from the healthcare agency. So I would give it a couple more weeks just to see what comes out.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, this might be a great opportunity if we get the right messaging to help at least the senior liaison people to contact senior centers.
So yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so we'll put a program in there just with the messaging, and we can get, because I'm really trying to get us a little bit more active that way, and this would be a great opportunity. So keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. I will. Thank you for that, Cynthia. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when you reminded me of the offer. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, which is building on something that Elaine talked about, was the meeting with Supervisor Foley. I thought that she was very interested in everything that Elaine and Jean were updating her on. Things, you could see a few light bulb moments went on in her head. She's very passionate about senior issues, despite, you know, the delayed meeting with SCAC. It is a very personal matter for her because she has her elderly mother living with her. Did she say mother and or grandmother? Grandmother. Yeah, both of them. Both of them.
90 something and a 70 something.
Right, exactly. And they had been very involved in the Costa Mesa Senior Center, but obviously with COVID, there's still a lot of anxiety around that. So she gets it. She understands the importance. But one of the things that she asked of SCAC is that she has yet to develop what her nutrition gap program is going to look like for her second district. There was she has $2 million for her district in ARPA funding to provide nutrition gap services. So one of her staff is working on doing like a contest and having organizations submit proposals on what they can do to meet those gaps. And she talked about not just providing meals, but also providing those consumable personal supplies like first aid supplies or laundry detergent or dish soap, you know, other things besides groceries that cost people money. So even things like gift cards and such. So if anyone hears of some good ideas or knows organizations, I think we should put that out to SCAC to come up with some good ideas for Supervisor Foley's district.
It is time to schedule your appointment with our office. Please contact our office.
That's not me.
Appointment. Right. As always, your health is very important to us.
John, is that you? Can you mute, please?
What's that?
We're hearing somebody's phone recording.
I think it's better now.
Yes, it's gone. So, okay.
And I think that's all I had.
That's a
lot. It was a busy week. It was a busy week. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I know you're so busy, and but you are also a great support to SCAC. So thank you for what you do to support us and what we do. But you've got a lot on your plate, so it's much appreciated, Erica.
Absolutely.
Okay, item number 12, unless anyone tells me I skipped anything else on the agenda. Hey, item 12, announcements. Does anyone have an announcement to make or want to make us aware of something that's going on?
I'll make you aware. I've got to get off right now to go to another meeting. And this is a face-to-face, so I got to drive to it. So.
Oh, yes. We've got to figure that time in our schedules now for those.
I know. Now I've got to start doing that. So I get it. But
okay.
Is there anything else, Elaine, that we need to?
No, I think that's it. There's no announcements. Our next meeting for the executive board is September 28th. We will continue meeting via Zoom. And if you have any items for the agenda, please be sure to let me know. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
And welcome, Meredith.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.